But Father, we truly do thank you for being here with us today on Pentecost Day. You're always with us, Father God. It just doesn't have to be this day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is so evident among your people. We thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit dwells deeply within us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who paid the ultimate price that we could be here this day, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I'm asking, Father God, that you open up each and every heart this morning to receive what thus saith the Lord. And Father, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And let us go forth triumphant in every area of our life. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God wants us to be supernatural beings. So let's start with Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody in the upper room was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And verse 11 says, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." The people in the upper room weren't speaking in their own language. They were speaking in the language of the people around about, so they could understand, telling them of the wonderful works of the Father. And this is what we need to be doing in this dispensation of time. We need to be so yielded to God that God can cause us to speak in tongues. And it would be somebody who, it would be their language that's around us. And we would be telling them of the wonderful works of the Father. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst." He says, "Men of Israel," Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs." This is where God is taking us into, his miracles, wonders, and signs. Church, this is where our Father is at. He has his children in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. So what does the upper room represent? The upper room is a place of refreshment, renewal, and rejuvenation. It is a place of fellowship and reunion. It is a place of knowing Jesus. The disciples had no power just by being in the upper room. It wasn't until the fire fell that they had power. The disciples walked with Jesus 3 years and saw him work signs, wonders, and miracles, but they did none until they tarried in the upper room and were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember that even when they were casting out demons, or sometimes they couldn't even do that, because they did not at that point have the Holy Spirit in them to work the miracles. There's too many people sitting in the body of Christ today who do not walk with the anointing of the Holy Spirit dwelling richly within them, and that is why they don't see the signs, wonders, and miracles occurring, first of all in their own lives and then in the lives of the people in the house of God. We, the body of Christ, have been with Jesus through his word, being taught of the miraculous exploits he performed. We, the body of Christ, have been with Jesus through his word, you know, as he's been teaching us his word. So he can send us forth with the same power the apostles and disciples received as they tarried in the upper room. I'm sorry, I got messed up there. Now he desires to fill us with power from on high, so he can send us forth with the same power the apostles and disciples received as they tarried in the upper room. Now, on Pentecost, if you have not already been endued with power from on high, God wants to endue you with power from on high. He no longer wants us to walk around as a mundane Christian. He wants us to be supernatural Christians. Brother Allen, would you like to give your testimony?
Okay, so it was Friday, and I was in a long line at the Motor Vehicles Department. And I had my helmet on, and I can hear music in my phone through it. But I told God, I said, all right, I'd rather pray and talk to you than listen to music. So I took it off, and I started praying, and I got into that. God took me into that place where I was hearing everything to pray before I did it. And it took me a while to realize what was going on, because this hadn't happened to me in a long time. And it just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And it was like, I was trying to think of a comparison. It's like when you play video games and the player keeps eating points and whatever it is and keeps getting bigger and bigger. That's how I felt. That's what I felt was happening to me. And then the Holy Spirit started talking to me. And I'm sitting on my bike, and it felt like it was 90 degrees, crying like a baby for like, you know, a half hour, 40 minutes. I'm not going to go into everything he said, except, you know, it was just amazing stuff. A lot of it, he said, I'm depositing this in you, and you'll know later. But the things that he was saying to me just completely broke me down, and I was so excited. It was a feeling that I had felt when I was a kid. I was about 18 years old. It was the first time God spoke to me. I was on this huge ladder, and I was painting this Victorian house, and I heard God say, "Son, I have something for you to do for me." And that feeling and that voice and that power was so strong, and that's what I felt Friday. It was what I felt when I first walked into this church too, but it was on an amazingly more powerful scale. Friday, and I'm still overwhelmed by it, and I still feel it. It's still in there. It's an indescribable feeling. And then when I got done, I read the word for Friday, and that's when I completely freaked out, because God said that he wanted to do that. And I called Pastor Barbara. I'm pretty sure I was yelling and screaming, because I was still I was yelling Jesus, and it was like I was crying. I was thanking Pastor Barbara for helping me to get help. It's an understatement. Getting to this point where this happened to me, and I'm still completely overwhelmed by it. It was the single greatest day of my life, day of my life, to feel that again. That's it.
what he was saying was that when he had all that encounter with God, then read the prophetic word, he experienced exactly what God told us Friday that he wanted us to experience. But I picked up the phone and he was laughing, he was crying, he was shouting, he was dancing. And the Holy Spirit just came to the phone and hit me. And I mean, he just was going on and on. You could really tell he was really had a touch of the Father. And he didn't know God was wanting to do that because I forgot to send the word in until later, even though I got it early in the morning. But he said, I received exactly what God wanted me to receive. Now, I haven't heard any other testimony, so don't tell me now you got it. Whenever he's the one that called and said, I got it. But see, this is what God wants to do. And he was standing in the line in motor vehicle, right? And that's when the Spirit of God hit him. But I was tickled because he laughed, he cried, he shouted, and he did a little jig. I heard him jump up and down. Then he started laughing and crying, and he kept doing all that till he's finished telling me what he wanted to tell me. This is where God wants to take all the body of Christ. But are you ready to go there? A lot of us say yes, but are we really ready to go there? All right, now, God told me he wanted us to be supernatural beings, and he gave me this prophetic word, you know, the teaching, but I put the scripture ahead of his teaching. Now, this is his teaching. This is what God said. My children, I am a supernatural father, and I expect my children to be supernatural also. I am calling you from the backside of the desert today. This is today now, all right? And bringing you to the forefront of my kingdom, so we can go forth and bring in the harvest of souls that I have been speaking about. This is what God wants to do to each one of us today. Not tomorrow, but today. Nowhere in my word does it tell you that you should be powerless. Nowhere does it tell you to be faithless. And nowhere does it tell you that you cannot do signs, wonders, and miracles. All right? How many of you are believing that from this day forward you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles follow you wherever you go? You're not going to have to manufacture them or muster them up. You have said, God, here I am, use me. And then just let him use you anytime he so desires to use you. I'm quite sure that Brother Allen was not expecting God to fall on him in the motor vehicle standing in line. But he has been crying out, God, I want you to use me. I want what you spoke for my life to come to pass. And I know everybody in here has been doing that. I'm just using him as an example because, you know, he called and expressed what he was going through. All right. So God said, nowhere does it tell you that you cannot do signs, wonders, and miracles. So what is the problem? Why are you still sitting in a place of complacency? Why are you not a vessel of honor that I can move through? So that's telling me that some are not ready yet for God to move through. Isn't that what it just said? Look around about you today. See all the sickness and afflictions that have been imposed upon my children. The enemy has been having a heyday inflicting my people with diseases. Since when does the enemy have more power and authority than a true child of God? I want us all to think about that. You know, I had read about Kenneth Copeland. I know he had that bad foot thing, and God healed him after a couple of years, but I didn't know he had a bad back thing. And he kept believing and trusting God. And then Dodie Osteen had cancer, and God healed her of cancer. And she wrote a book about it and put all the healing scriptures in that book. Kenneth Copeland took the book, and a couple of times a day he would speak those healing scriptures over his body. And he said the words got into his soul and into his bones and healed his body. He said he has no trouble with all this back today. But he had to do the work. He had to read the word into his, get it into his spirit man and get it working in his body to heal him. We're too lazy. We sit around when everybody else to pray for us. We don't really want to pray for ourselves. You know, I'm just talking the body of Christ as a whole. If that's not you, don't put the shoe on. Okay, I don't have no shoes around for you to put on today. And we need to start doing what God's been telling us to do and use His Word. He's been telling us, get into my Word. I honor my Word. And this is, I was reading Kenneth Copeland's testimony. That's what God did to him. He honored the Word. God went on to say, children, can you believe today? Can you walk in supernatural awareness and allow me to use you as a vessel of honor that I can work through? Then let's get started. This day, I say, receive all the power for healing that I have for you. Stretch forth your hands and allow my glory to descend upon you and anoint you from on high. Then God's going on to say, I want this day to be another Acts chapter 2 day. Everybody came here this morning with the thought in their head, God is going to do a miraculous thing today. Just like they did in the upper room, they went there not knowing what God was going to do, but just obeying God. And they were totally amazed at what God did. And so each one of you who came in here expecting God to give you another upper room experience, you are going to receive everything that they received in the upper room in the books of Acts. God said, I want this day to be a day of Pentecost that the church will talk about for centuries to come. Are you ready to be part of that movement? Are you ready to come forth undaunted with the cares of this world and forget from whence you came and just pick up the anointing that destroys every yoke? And this is what God's doing. He's given us that anointing this morning. There are those sitting in your midst that need this healing touch. There are those sitting in your midst that if they do not receive this healing touch, they will not see tomorrow. You can be the vessel of honor that I need, little ones. You can be that vessel that has enough faith to move every mountain, not just one or two. Come on. We say we have faith to move a mountain, but I don't see any mountains being moved. We can say a lot of things through our lips, but is it in our spirit? Or is it just head knowledge that we're speaking? This day, God says, I want you to be moved with compassion that will heal the sick, cleanse the leper, open blinded eyes, and watch the lame walk. This day. No more excuses, just moving forward. No more excuses. Just moving forward time in my anointing. You say with your lips that you want to be used for my glory, but are you ready? You must be ready this day, today. You can no longer sit in passivity. You must move and move quickly. The thunderbolts have been released. The lightning has gone forward. There is no more time to sit and ponder. Now is the hour of salvation. Now is the hour for signs, wonders, and miracles. God told me a couple years ago, daughter, watch for the thunder and the lightning. And then he says here, the thunderbolts have been released. The lightning has gone forward. God said, I called the peoples into the upper room and told them to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. Then, when the fire fell, they went forth preaching daily with souls being saved daily. I want to do the very same thing to each of you in the sound of my voice today. I want to endue you with power to bring in the harvest of souls daily. Believe me, little ones, a multitude of souls are going to be brought into kingdom authority in this end-time harvest. Do you not understand that there are multitudes that have not heard the message of salvation as of this day? Do you not know that there are those right here in your community that have never heard of Jesus, let alone His love? These souls live in depravity while you are sitting, getting fat on my word. Children, each of you know enough of my word that I can anoint you from on high this day and send you forth to bring the harvest with great signs, wonders, and miracles at work. You will be surprised, you're starting right now, if not before, about people who do not go to church, but who you've been around and you've been living the life of Christ. And you don't push Christ on anybody, but you've just been living it. And then every now and then you might speak something about the word. You're going to be surprised that one day they're going to come and start talking to you about the word. You aren't going to have to do anything because the anointing that you're receiving right now today is going to draw them to you, the Holy Spirit in you, and you're going to lead them to Christ. You watch and see what's going to happen after today. That happened to me yesterday. And I was totally in awe at how God worked the whole thing out. So this is what we're headed for. We're going to see salvation after salvation. And I'm hearing God say it's going to begin in your own household. Those who say they're saved and are not are truly going to get saved. And they're going to serve the Father. And it's all because you stayed the course. No matter how hard the battle became, you stayed the course. And you did not lose heart. We all grow battle weary. The Word of God tells us that. But we don't give up. We keep right on going, knowing that our Father knows all things. God says, since when do you have to be in the way for 20 years for me to use you? Since when do you have to have a title for me to use you? And see, a lot of people say, well, you don't have Reverend in front of your name, so there's no way God can use you. That's a lie. God says, I want to use the simple things of this world to confuse the wise. You are one of the simple things that I so desire to use at this given time. Now, I looked up the scripture, and it's 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And see, what he said before that, he said, I want to use the simple things of this world. And I knew that wasn't how it was worded in the word. And I said, God, can I say the foolish things instead of the simple things? And he would not let me change it. You are one of the simple things that I so desire to use at this given time. You know, the Word of God says that his children are peculiar people, right? But you know, we're peculiar in ways you would never even believe that we're peculiar. We just do not line up with the rest of the world. And we don't even realize that we are a peculiar people. God said, I am tired of the fat ones that sat around and fattened themselves with my word. It did nothing to spread the good news to the downcast, the poor, and the beggarly. God said, oh, you have nothing, you have seen nothing yet, little ones, for what I'm about to do, eye has not seen nor ear heard. And you'll find that in 1 Corinthians 2:9. God's been speaking this thing to us over and over and over again. But I'm hearing God say, this is a day of salvation. This is the day when all this will begin to flow in each one of your lives. God said, it will be a wonderful time in my kingdom. The Holy Spirit will be very active. The angelic host will be active. And many signs, wonders, and miracles occurring all across this glorious earth. Now, let's stop there. You know, God, whenever you're holding your hand up in the air to receive, God said there's going to be much persecution in the body of believers in the days ahead. That's all he said. But you do have to understand this, and I'm going to be teaching on some of that tonight. You do have to understand that you are going to be persecuted. I don't care how anointed you are still going to be persecuted. And you have to understand that the people in the upper room, they left the upper room, but they went out preaching the word, and they were come against. And you're going to be come against. Because the world is getting darker and darker and darker. And nobody's going to want that light, that your little light bulb that's out there shining. But you're going to have to be steadfast in your love and your walk with God. And you're just going to have to let your light shine, because God has already told us, rise, shine, for your light has come, right? And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, his glory will be seen upon you. That scripture is constantly in my spirit. We have to understand that even though God has dropped his glory on us, everybody is not going to receive that. There's people out there who just are not going to be saved. God desires that all be saved, but he also says that they're not all going to be saved. So we have to be determined in our heart today, as you're sitting in the upper room, that no matter what comes your way, you're going to go ahead and go forth and do the things that they did in the upper room. And tonight we'll learn more about that. But this morning I want you to understand, this is not a light thing that God is doing to you. The Bible says that when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared, to different people, but also said he appeared to 500 people. But there was only 120 in the upper room. So you have to think, what happened to these other people, the 380 people? Why were they not in the upper room? And did God just handpick 120 people to be in the upper room? I searched and searched and couldn't find that answer. Maybe somebody knows that answer. But it doesn't really matter whether it was 500 there, 120 there, or 50 of us here. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. You're the ones that God has handpicked to drop his Holy Spirit power into and his glory on. Don't allow people to put you down. Don't allow people to say you don't have the right credentials to do what you're doing. The only credentials you need is the fact that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died for you, took you to the upper room, and anointed you with the Holy Spirit. That's all the credentials you need. You don't need man's approval to do signs, wonders, and miracles. You only need God. You only need to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Because this is what's going to happen to you. People are going to come at you and say, well, you don't have the right credentials. What gives you the right and the authority to do this? Jesus. Say, all I need is Jesus. And he's the one that sent me. And because he sent you, they can't stop you. All right? They can't stop you because they didn't send you. And I say that because God told me many times, daughter, they didn't choose you. I did, so they can't disqualify you. All right? And God's not going to disqualify you, because after all, he called you. He knows who's going to be where and at what time. And he's called you into the upper room experience this morning so that you can be qualified to go forth as his vessels of honor. All right, then God went on to say, many in the Muslim nations will be touched and converted into my kingdom, but I need vessels of honor that are willing to go. You see, I cannot speak their language, but I say unto you, that is not a problem. I'm sorry, that is no problem. Can I not cause you to speak any language that is needed? And you saw in the upper room they were speaking all those different languages. I can overcome every obstacle that is in your path. Children, many would so desire to be where you are at today in the upper room, waiting for the fire to fall. Do you know there's many churches that are not preaching this morning? There are many people sitting in the house of God that don't even know anything about the upper room. I actually read an article where a pastor was talking about the upper room, and he said things that were not in the Word, that were not, he twisted it. And do you know how many people that will read that and believe it because they don't know the truth? So this is why you have to know the truth, because the truth sets the people free. And you have to know the truth so whenever people preach or teach, you know whether it's false or truth. And I don't care how long you've been in the body of Christ, When I was first born again, I went to a church with my sister, and I said to them, that your pastor is twisting the scriptures. It doesn't say that. Now, I didn't know the word, okay? But I was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was showing me as he was teaching what he was teaching wrong. When I went home, I retaught them. I taught them the truth of the word. They never quit that church, though, even though he was still teaching wrong. But at least I knew through the Holy Spirit what he was teaching was not right. This is where you have to be at. You have to be the place where you know, because of the Holy Spirit in you, who will bring all things to your remembrance, that what somebody is saying, whether it's true or whether it's false. All right? Then God goes on to say, this is your day of Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, if you can receive it. I watched each one of you in here this morning. I saw the reactions on your faces. I saw the desire there. And I saw as God was doing a great thing to you. God spoke to some of you. He revealed some revelation to you. Do not allow anybody to steal what you received this morning. God is in total and complete control of your life. And he is going to send you out into the nations because he has taught you well. And you do know the truth. And you know that the truth set you, took you out of bondage and set you free. And now he's asking you to do the very same thing. Take what he's taught you. Take it to the nations. And teach the truth. You know, you think about this virus and what it's been doing to the churches. And I was praying early this morning. I said, you know what, God? You know, I've often said, why? I'd love to be on TV. I says, and it's so expensive and everything. But here, this virus places out there, not on TV per se, but places out there where people can watch as we do the service. And I just think that's powerful. That might be that's a simple thing to me. And other people say, well, what's the big deal there? It's a big deal to me. Because see how God works. He works in mysterious ways. And you need to tell the people that how God does work in mysterious ways. And it doesn't matter if they receive your word or not. Remember, you're just supposed to give the word. If you really read about what they did after the upper room experience, they just went around preaching the gospel. They wasn't trying to make people believe the gospel. They were preaching the gospel, and as they preached the gospel, signs, wonders, and miracles occurred. Because they weren't trying to be something they were not. They were just endued with power from on high. And they took that power and that authority, and they shared it with everybody they came in contact with. What was it? 3,000 were saved in one day? And I said, I was reading, I said, God, do we have a stadium around there big enough to hold 3,000 people? I don't know about Delaware. I'm quite sure Dover Downs does. But, you know, that's about the only way we're going to get 3,000 people saved in one day, right? If you really sit and think and ponder on this, how did they do that? Where were the people at, you know? Did they have to travel a distance? Did people come to them because of, you know, of course, the word went out saying what happened. Were they just like they do, you know, here? If they hear where God's moving and signs, wonders, and miracles, everybody comes to where it's happening. I don't know how it happened. It doesn't matter how it happened. It happened. And I think it's awesome that God used this time frame, this time season, to bring forth the upper room. I mean, people have been preaching about it, but today he brought it forth in a way that he has not brought it forth before. Why? Because this is a day that God has endued you with. You have been endued with power now. You have to cherish that. You have to stay close to the cross with that. And don't let anybody say, no, you didn't receive. You know whether or not you received, don't you? You know how God moves upon you, I hope. And it's the Holy Spirit and all the power and authority that he has that Jesus left behind for us when he went away. The Holy Spirit was evident then and is still evident today. And you're going to find out it's going to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And just like it overtook Alan, and I know it, Barbara testifies and Grace testifies of how it overtakes them. You're going to hear a lot of people saying that. You're not going to be the odd one to block, the only one that's receiving that. Everybody's going to be receiving that. Why? Because God needs a lot of people to minister to that big, lost, dying world out there. There's a whole lot of people out there that need Christ. And you say, well, I'll never be able to reach him. You watch and see what God does with you. You watch and see where he moves you to. And you watch and see how he uses you when you least expect it. Don't, you know, when you leave your house, don't go out there just wondering, is God going to use you that day? Just go out there knowing you are a vessel that God can work through. Go about your daily business and just let God do what he does best. Move through you and get people saved, healed, delivered, whatever it is. So now, what God wants to do now is he wants to drop that fire. And he's been dropping the fire on us at different occasions. He wants to drop that fire right now that comes with the Holy Spirit, that fire of power that will consume you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. A lot of you are going to find yourself speaking in tongues more frequently than you ever have. Father, I just thank you right now. I just praise you. I give you all honor and all glory. Let that fire fall right now, Father God, upon every one of your people who are submitting themselves to you right now. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit totally and consume them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Let it be such a magnitude, Father God, that it changes them totally and completely, never to be the same. And Father God, we thank you for it. We thank you for this power and authority that we're receiving right now. My children, be aware when you leave the upper room this day that I, the Lord thy God, I have surely endued you with power from on high. Your lives will never be the same. You will find new strength where you were weak. You will notice that you have more wisdom than you've ever had before. You will also see that others are drawn to you, to my spirit that dwells deep inside of you. You will also notice that your ears will pick up my voice more clearly. You will also notice that even though the storm rages around about, you will have no fear because you know it cannot touch you. This is a heritage of my children who gave themselves totally and completely to me this day and received all that I have for them. Now, you will grow. You will grow like you've never grown before. As you come into my presence, you will feel the deepness of my heart. And you will gather many lost souls into my kingdom. You will find that you have less and less time on your hands because you're going to be busy for my kingdom.